the hand of God. The hand of God. No one is called to walk alone in this life. At the heart of Christianity is community. You know, it's real easy at times to isolate and to remove ourselves from others because we are very independent people. But again, no one is called to walk alone in this life. God has created us to be a part of a family. For at the heart of Christianity is family. See, if we choose to isolate ourselves from others, we will hinder spiritual growth. It's really easy just to worry and just focus in on what? Ourselves. It's really easy to fashion life in a way that we disconnect from others. And it's also easy to just build a small circle and feel content and never reach beyond that. But again, we are chosen. If we choose to isolate ourselves from others, we will hinder spiritual growth. For God's desires to be fulfilled in us, we must connect to others. We've been in a series speaking about the power of regeneration. Unless we are born again, we will never grow and never be what God's asked us to be. Getting saved is more than just words that we claim. Getting saved is living in the reality of a new life. And as we've been going through this series, we've been looking closely at the regeneration of Saul. The regeneration of Saul's life brought him into lasting relationships with others. Think about all the different people that impacted Saul's life that was all about relationship. Many individuals would serve as God's hand in Saul's life. And the one that we're going to be looking at this morning is Ananias, who is a brother to Saul. You remember Ananias was approached in a vision by God, and he says, I want you to go to this house, and I want you to be my hand in the life of Saul from Tarsus, and you are going to see him become what my intentions are. But what did Ananias say? Lord, he is an evil man. He is a man that can hurt me. He can hurt others. He has hurt others. But we see Ananias rose up from his fear and was willing to be a brother to Saul and to be God's hand in the life of Saul. Acts chapter 9, verse 17, if we can turn there. So Ananias departed and entered the house and laid his hands on him. He said, Brother, what? Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road by which you came has sent me so that you may regain your sight. And let's read this part together and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately, something like scales fell from his eyes, and he required his sight. Then he rose and was baptized. And taking food, he was strengthened for some days. He was with the disciples at Damascus. Ananias was willing to be God's hand in Saul's life. Saul was stubborn, but he was called to God's purpose. He met Jesus on the road to Damascus. He was slain, fallen out, and he even had physical scales put over his eyes to blind him. And the thought being, again, God needed to get Saul's attention, so he used the physical to awaken the spiritual. As he was there in that house praying, he knew he met a power that he believed was God. Yet his eyes had not yet opened because he needed to perceive and to have spiritual vision. And God took away his physical vision so that he would be given spiritual vision. God could have shown up and taken those scales away. He could have shown up and Saul would have been baptized in the Holy Spirit. But God chose to use who? Ananias. He chose to use Ananias as his hand. Ananias was willing to reach out to Saul. He reached out, though he had many reasons to turn away, didn't he? How many times has the Holy Spirit told us, speak, speak, reach, but we came up with reasons to remain quiet? We are here not to remain quiet. We are here to reach. See, it was safer and easier for Ananias to do nothing. Risking to reach is a real thing. And many people will live their life upon the earth silent and mute because they choose safety and ease more than obedience to God. Thank the Lord that Ananias overcame a real fear and he moved forward to reach the life of Saul, which was a man that God used to change the world. A true chosen instrument of God. What do we want more? Safety and ease or obedience to God's call? Is that a fair question? Which do we want more, safety and ease or obedience to God's call? See, I believe this. There's people that you work around, and God's shown you some stuff about their life. And it's stuff you really didn't want to know, right? Said, God, I'm not nosy. But God revealed it. And in your spirit, he gave you perception about the stronghold in their life. And right now, there may be a timidness to go to that place that you know God has asked you to go. There's a lot of reasons to say, no, I will not speak to it. I will walk by them laid out in spiritual death because I can live with that more than the fear that I have if I do say something. But maybe God has called you to be that Ananias in their life. And may God lift anything that is causing us to desire safety and ease over obedience to what God has called us to do. We look now back a little bit in Acts chapter 9, starting with verse 10. Just a little refresher of where Ananias was and what his spirit and what his heart was dealing with. Now there was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias. The Lord said to him in a vision, Ananias, and he said, here I am, what? Lord. I'm ready. I'm responsive. Look further. And the Lord said to him, rise and go to the street called Straight, and at the house of Judas, look for a man of Tarsus named Saul, for behold, he is praying. And he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him so that he might regain his sight. But Ananias answered, and this is just honesty to God, Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call on your name. And guess who called on the Lord's name? Ananias. But the Lord said to him, go, for he, speaking of Saul, he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles. Can we say thank you? We've got a lot of Gentiles in the house today. To carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. Jesus said, for I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name. He is going to be genuine. He is going to be one that fulfills the call and design I have created him for. Don't worry, Ananias. There's always reasons not to be God's hand. But here, Ananias chose to be God's hand by reaching out to Saul. God's handiwork always will be faithful in obedience to reach out and to see the true condition. Ananias chose obedience to God's call over safety and ease. God's hand reaches out to others. And a question that I ask myself this morning, and I ask you to ask yourself, who are you reaching? Who are you reaching? Verse 17 of Acts again. So Ananias departed and entered the house. God said, go. What did Ananias do? He went. He was approaching potential death. How many of you know when people respond to Jesus, they don't always hold on to Jesus, right? He knew by going, he was exposing who he truly was to a man that had come in that city to see him eventually put to death. Yet he pressed on. He moved forward. There is a day coming to our nation where saying the name Jesus and proclaiming the need for regeneration will risk us being put in jail. It will. It's happened in other nations. And as the spirit of the Antichrist manipulates and manifests in greater and greater intensity, that day rests pointed directly at the heart of those who claim to know Jesus. And one day, if we testify, if we reach out, we will risk everything. What are we risking today? Embarrassment? Uncomfortable? Don't want to make someone feel uncomfortable? Can we thank God somebody made us feel uncomfortable? Can we thank God that somebody made us feel uncomfortable? Barbara mentioned to me when she's gone to different salons. Y'all pray for Barb. She's going through a lot with her health right now. Keep her lifted up. Keep her lifted up. But in the conversation, when she begins to speak on about Jesus, things clam up. Ladies, I don't know. It's been a long time since I've been even to the barber. But let me ask you this. Clamming up isn't always the order in the beauty parlor, is it? Right? Talking is kind of there, right? She told me, she mentioned she had a new lady hairdresser, and she brought up Jesus. And instead of clamming up, she began to open up. And she had a lot of different concerns about faith. She's buying into that spirit of the Antichrist today, which says there's multiple ways to heaven, that you don't have to just go through Jesus. You can go through whatever feels right to you. That's the spirit, one aspect of the Antichrist. Oh, I'm not doubting who Jesus is. I'm telling you, you find your own Jesus. Reach. will cause our nature to feel uncomfortable at times. But the reach is vital if anyone is ever going to come to the fullness of what God has intended. He has placed us here as his hands. See, not only was Ananias willing to reach, but he was willing to connect. Ananias was willing to connect to Saul. Verse 17 again. Let's look at it closely. So Ananias departed and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, "Brother Saul." Ananias opened his heart to see Saul as God saw him. God already told him, "This is my disciple, this is my child, so go and receive and go and let him know what I've told you. I've already given him a vision, I've given him your name. Go." Ananias made contact, and not only with the hand, but with the heart, and he called Saul, "My brother." Ananias connected with Saul from his heart. He says, "Brother Saul." Ananias was willing to be God's hand. Obedience led Ananias to reach out and connect to Saul in his time of need. Listen to this again, Ephesians 2:10, the latter part. We were created for what? Good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. I believe this without a shadow of a doubt. As we extend a hand, the connections that we make have been predestined by God. But how can we reach and connect? How can we connect if we don't first again perceive and reach and take a risk? Ordained. God knew I needed this man in my life. God knew that I needed the body of Christ that's gathered in this place to give me courage to move forward. Individuals, y'all that are gathered in this place, have come to honor God. And in your honoring God, you lift me up. In my heart, I'm not talking about wanting you to put me on a pedestal. Please don't, because I fall. The higher the pedestal, what? There are those that God has already shown you that you've been faithful to reach and connect, and you've seen what God has done. But don't stop there. There's many, many others. Obedience led Ananias again to reach out and to connect to Saul in his time of need. Verse 17 again. So Ananias departed and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you came, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." And to be filled with the Holy Spirit wasn't enough that Ananias just reached. He connected. He had respect for a man that he feared. He had a respect for a man that he had a case fully against. He had a case against him because he had killed and had a murderous heart towards other Christians. But he connected. And he believed that God had called him and made him his brother. Beyond that, he wasn't content just to reach, just to connect, but he wanted to assure that Paul would be lifted up Think about how he lifted Saul up. Words of life flowed from Ananias. Words of encouragement. So Ananias departed and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you came, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." The one that you may question, was that really the Messiah that I encountered? Yes. And my words will help confirm that to your heart. How many of us have been going through the valley in the deepest of despair, and somebody showed up and reminded us that Jesus is really the Messiah and the Lord? Where would we have been if those words did not come? Where would our heart sink to? What depths if somebody wasn't willing to be the hand of God in our life? It's important. Ananias to Saul, "Jesus has sent me so that you may see." You're looking with all the intentions of your physical body to look again, to see again. You can't see, can you? But you're seeing a lot of stuff that God wants you to see. And now that you do, your sight's going to be regained. And it was. It was. He came, he told him, "You're going to see. You're going to see." A confirmation of what the vision gave him through the Lord Jesus Christ, through this vessel that was willing to come, to reach out, to connect, and to lift up. And then, one of the most vital aspects that we all must have clarity about, he says, "And you are going to be filled with the Holy Spirit." Until we are filled with the Holy Spirit, we are simply living a lie. Because that which speaks to our direction is from the father of lies. Now hear me out. When Satan lied to Adam and Eve, and they bought into the lie, he seeded death in humanity. And that nature that we were born, that we were all born with, was born out of death and a lie. So we have a choice to continue to live by a directive that is seated in the father of lies. And we can put names on it, such as Christian, churchgoer, I have believed because I say I believe. But am I born again? Am I born of the Spirit? Because what I need more than words from this body is a reality of a new heart. And Saul was going to experience what it was like to be exited of the religious spirit and to be filled with the Holy Spirit and to be given a new heart. It's, may God always lead us, which he will, from the heart that he died, his son died to give us. That's the new creation. God's not impressed with our religious spirit. In fact, he knows the destination of that religious spirit is in the lake of fire, the pits of hell. But what he desires is for our life to mirror what Saul experienced, and that is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. To be filled with the Holy Spirit, we need the capacity for the Holy Spirit. And the flesh is no capacity for the Holy Spirit. For when the Holy Spirit, let me state it this way. For when man calls the religious spirit the Holy Spirit and tries to allow its dwelling to be in that heart of flesh, that fallen nature, that is the height of the religious spirit. But when the new heart, the new creation that Jesus died to give us, when we are filled that new heart with the Holy Spirit, then the handiwork of God is set in motion. And it's available to all that call on His name. What is imparted in others by our words? Ananias comes in. You're going to see. Saul, you're going to have sight again. You're going to have the filling of the Holy Spirit. He was a faithful, religious Pharisee that would die for his belief, no doubt. And to the precious dwelling for the Jew was the temple. And in the Holy of Holies, what dwelt in the Holy of Holies? Spirit of God, the presence of God. That's why no man could go in there outside of the high priest with a rope tied around him in case he had sin in his life, he would drop dead and they'd have to pull him out. But here in Paul's heart is an understanding. The Spirit of God, the presence of God. Now, Saul, you're going to be the temple of the Holy Spirit. A promise made to all of us in this room. Can you imagine that? When Saul got revelation of where God's intention was to dwell in his very heart, his new heart. Can you imagine? We know what it did to him. He began to cover the world, reaching, connecting, and lifting up others for the purposes of God. See, what is imparted by our words to others, may the fruit of our words be the intentions of God. Somebody may think this morning, Pastor, that's some lofty hope that you got there. I don't think so. I don't think it's a reach. I think that every child of God is equipped to bring the intentions of God to others by being God's hand in wherever He has you placed. And how beautiful is that to know that day that you spent breathing the air that God blessed you with, that day was utilized as a way to voice the intentions of God into the hearts of others. As simple as it is, God bless you. A smile instead of a frown. Patience rather than impatience. Kindness rather than unkindness. All of the intentions of God are to be lived out through the heart of His children. May we be God's hand in the lives that we encounter. May our lives reach, connect, and lift up others to the place that God desires. Do you believe that's possible? As we started with the image of these precious lives laid out, symbolizing bondage and spiritual death, but knowing that there was a promise that God had made to create people to be about His work and to align us so that we can reach, connect, and lift up. See, I know without a doubt that regeneration is a team effort. It is. When we get saved and born again, yes, it's a personal commitment to God, but God doesn't just keep it between us and Him. He invites many people on the journey to construction. Who remembers that T-shirt yesterday that the guys were wearing at that Yahweh Jam, the logo in the back? Does anybody remember? Say it again. Construction crew was what's on the back of this church's T-shirt. And they were the ones who, a small church, they gave of their resources to bless Lexington yesterday. And what a wonderful job the praise team did. ARV Collective, what a joy it was. It was a joy. But as I was talking to their pastor, he told me this. He says, you see what's on the back of our shirt, construction crew? And he says, there's a meaning behind it. I said, well, tell me. He says, we don't view ourselves as a congregation. We view ourselves as a construction crew. And I'm like, we don't just congregate. We are busy constructing the things that matter to God. And I thought, that's a powerful statement. Because, you know, a lot of times I'm just raising my hand to say I fit into this mentality. Man, if we can get up enough strength to come into the church and sit for hour and a half, 2 hours, we feel pretty good about ourselves, right? Oh, don't be looking at me like that. Ping, did it. And then the rest of the week, just me time. I suffered through that man's sermon. There's got to be a crown in heaven for me. I know. He says, Pastor, we want our church to view themselves as actively constructing the purposes and plans of God to bless the city that he's called us to. Powerful. Powerful. Basically, he was saying, we are God's handiwork created for what? Good works. Good works. Here, I thank God that regeneration is a team effort, because God has put many people in my life to help me along the way and to construct the purposes of God in my life. And he's still bringing the construction crew around this work site right here, this heart. Ananias was God's hand in Saul's life. God's hand to confirm that Jesus is real. You know what that did to Ananias, to have a vision and then to have the reality of Ananias, or Saul, when he had that vision, that this man named Ananias was going to come into his house and pray for him, that his eyes would be opened. Here, Ananias walks in. Can you imagine what that did to confirm the interaction he had with Jesus on the road to Damascus? And a lot of times our interaction in reaching is helping to reconfirm someone's faith that God really sees them. Not only did he confirm, God confirmed Christ through Ananias, but also Ananias was God's hand in opening blinded eyes, or open blind eyes. He laid hands on him, he prayed, and the scales fell. God could have done it again without Ananias, but he chose to use Ananias as his hand in the life of Saul. And then also, Ananias was God's hand in the process of God filling Saul with the Holy Spirit. If nobody ever tells us, maybe we just don't, we won't ever know. So, well, you got your Bible, read your Bible, yeah. But people read differently, don't they? And it's something, when someone looks you in the eyes and you have the Holy Spirit confirming and letting you know that's a vessel of the Lord, I can trust what that person's saying. In fact, what they're saying, I'm testing it by the word, but yeah, there is a Holy Spirit that wants to dwell in you. Yeah, Ned, there's more than just being a churchgoer. There's more than just speaking a creed of belief in Jesus. There's regeneration. Grew up in a family that did not understand that until somebody got in our bodies were laid out. And we didn't even know it. But somebody came and saw our condition. And when they saw our condition, they saw people that confessed that Jesus was real, but we had not experienced regeneration. We were good people, but the works that we were doing weren't the fullness of what God's intentions were. They reached out and got in our comfortable little box. And it was comfortable. My father held about every leadership position he could have in the church that we went to. Even would speak from the pulpit at times. But we didn't know what it meant to be born again and to be a dwelling of the Holy Spirit. Someone got in my father's life and reached and made a connection. It would have been a lot easier for him to just say, that's just how he was brought up. He's always going to be like that. And as he lifted the message of the true gospel in my father's life, little did he know that as he was lifting my father, there were sons coming up too. There was a wife coming up too. Their grandsons and granddaughters coming up too. That's how much it matters. Mamas and daddies, aunts and uncles, it matters the choice that we make. For that which we're being lifted up to, there's someone connected to us that it will affect. See, as Saul was introduced to the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, he learned what it meant to have the Spirit of life alive in him. God, I want to be your hand. Can we say that in our heart? I want to be your hand. I'm not content to sit and walk around bodies that are laid out like that. I'm not content with that, Lord. If I am, wake me up. You will see God open doors when the heart is yielded to respond. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. I want it to come. Because God will be faithful to make the appointments. Lord, make me obedient to reach, connect, and lift others to the place your heart desires. If we can stand to our feet this morning as we go before the Lord in prayer. Strategically placed is your life. God has appointed you for such a time as this. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Power to be my witnesses. And that's what you are, church. You are the hand of God. Lord Jesus, you have created us to reach. You've created us to connect. And you've created us to lift others up. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, and I'm going to ask if our prayer team could be available today. And please know that these altars are always open. This time in our service is a time for us to talk to the Lord. Just intercede with him. And if there are prayer needs here, we want to pray with you. I want to pray through this scripture, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. For we are God's handiwork. Hallelujah. For the Lord has crafted and designed with excellence who you are. The events that have come upon you were not accident. Though they seem like chaos at the time, they were meant to knit and to form and to align you to be exactly what God's handiwork was supposed to look like. For that which you walk through, it's no accident. For that which comes with a facade that it will destroy, it will overwhelm. No, it has come so that you can comfort others with the same trials that you've walked through, and not just walked through, but have and will endure. Lord Jesus, the enemy's a liar. The enemy is a liar. For the testimony this morning in your heart is in the heat of the battle. When the warfare was raging, peace was within. In times of breaking, peace rushed in like a river. Though tears came, those tears were meant for your healing. For God knows every struggle we walk through, Jesus has felt every pain that we will experience in this life. And he held on, and that Spirit of Christ now dwells in you, and child of the Lord, hand of God, you're going to press through. And you're coming out on the other side.